us turn to our memory verse, which is Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Luke 6:12. And, as we're attempting to do here on Wednesday nights, keep interest and exposure to Bible verses on prayer, and also to keep us motivated to pray. So here we have in 6:12 of Luke. So although our verse is not the whole verse, let's read the whole verse first of all. So here we go. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. All right, now our memory section on that is he, and then picking up with continued. So let's read that now. He continued all night in prayer to God. All right, let's see if we can say that from memory now. There we go. He continued all night in prayer to God. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee that we can come to Thee in prayer. We thank Thee for the privilege we have to come before the Creator and Savior to bring our requests to Thee. We pray that You might bless in the service tonight now, bless in the preaching of Thy Word. Help us to be challenged about prayer in our lives. Pray that You'll bless the assembly and bless each one here now, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, here we have another passage on prayer. Now, our emphasis here is not that to indicate that prayer is some new concept to us. We all know about prayer. But I think as we go through passages on prayer, this keeps prayer before us. And prayer is not natural to the natural man. The natural man wants to respond to issues of life in other ways, such as worry, or such as figuring things out on his own. But prayer is certainly the practice that believers ought to be involved with. Now, furthermore, we're not dealing with the theory of prayer. That this is a great theory. Yeah, Christians ought to pray. This is a great theory. And why don't you Christians pray? You know, and we're not talking about the theory of prayer. We want to keep this before us. Now, in this passage, we have the Lord Himself, and of course, He is the par excellence prayer warrior in His earthly ministry. This passage tells us He continued all night in prayer. Many things that He did to what we might say the extreme from a human point of view. When He was tempted, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. So that's really beyond human capability, we would think, to fast that long. Here He prays all night. But certainly He is the example par excellence of the believer's life. And if you look there, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 12, We do have what Paul says concerning the Lord, Hebrews 12:2. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, here, looking to Him, He is our example. Peter tells us that in 1 Peter chapter 2. He's our example. We're to follow in His way and so on. So the Lord is our example. We need to look to Him. And here He was involved in prayer. Now, Luke, of all the gospel writers, Luke emphasizes the Lord's prayer life. We have certainly in Luke and in Acts a great deal of teaching about prayer. And in the book of Luke itself, we find out, for instance, when the Lord was baptized. So let's look there in chapter 3:21. Says that now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. So here it sounds as if He's in the water with John. He's just been baptized, and now he's praying. And this is when the Holy Ghost descends upon him, and the Father speaks. Of course, the triune Godhead meets, you might say, in the Jordan River there. But the Lord was praying immediately after his baptism. So here we see praying on a regular basis. Again, in our passage here, 6:12, this is when he is getting ready to choose the 12 apostles. We'll talk more about that. Later on, chapter 9 of Luke, so we're going through Luke here, 9:18, it says, "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am?" So here, immediately before he asks a great theological question, he prays. He prays. All right, then at the Mount Transfiguration, 9:28 of Luke. "And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray." Here we have similar phraseology as the very passage we're dealing with. "Went up to a mountain to pray before the Mount of Transfiguration experience." Then later on, chapter 22, we find the Lord prays for Peter, 22:32. Let's notice here, though, let's look at 31. "And the Lord said," 22:31, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." So here we see he prays for individuals. He prayed for Peter. He prayed for Peter when Peter was entering into a time of great testing. So we're getting some examples of when the Lord prayed and what the occasions were and so on. Then later on in that same chapter, in verse 42, we're told he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, saying, "Father," verse 42, "if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." So here's an example of him praying. Of course, in the previous verse, he kneeled down and prayed. And then also in chapter 23, 42, here, let's see, 23:34, excuse me, 23:34, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and they parted his raiment and cast lots." So here on the cross, he was praying for others. So we're getting a sense of the Lord's prayer life. He prayed before important events. He prayed for others. He prayed for others even when he was in a time of distress or difficulty. And so we see his prayer life was constant and in all types of occasions. And then in chapter 24 and verse 30, here after his resurrection. So as a resurrected man, as a resurrected God-man, we might say, he prayed. Notice there in verse 30, "And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them." So here, even after his resurrection, he prays. So we see the life of the Lord, a life of prayer, prayed at his baptism, prayed at the when he appointed the apostles and when he asked the apostles questions, and at his transfiguration, prayed for Peter. He prayed in the garden when he was in difficulty. He prayed on the cross. He prayed after his resurrection. So his whole life was a life of prayer. Now, certainly, it goes without saying then, if we're looking unto Jesus, if he's to be our example, if we're to follow him, as scripture writers say, then our lives should be a life signified by prayer. All right, now, in this very case, chapter 6, we see several things are coming to pass. Number one, the Pharisees already have thoughts to kill him. So he's in a time of danger and distress, you might say, from a human point of view. Notice in verse 11, so we're in our passage, Luke 6:11, and they're filled with madness and commune one with another what they might do to Jesus. So when he was in a physical danger, he prayed. All right. Plus, he in the immediate context as well, he's getting ready to appoint his 12 disciples, his 12 apostles. So here, this was important as well. So this is the context of the Lord's prayer life. And of this context here. Now, let's look here in the verse that we're dealing with as we look at several truths of his example to pray. First of all, we notice in verse 12 that he had a place to pray. He had a place to pray. Notice it says, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain. He went to a mountain to pray. All right, so there was a specific place to pray. He wanted to be in a specific place to pray, and no doubt one of the reasons for that was that this place would give him some privacy. He could pray in private. He could pray without surrounding things distracting him and so on. So he went to a private place to pray. He tells us in Matthew, for instance, Matthew chapter 6, something along the same lines here, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, he says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So here's the place for private prayer, secret prayer, being alone with the Lord and so on. This is what he did, and of course this is the instruction that he's giving as well. He's giving this instruction that he had a place to pray. And the specifics of the place to pray, when he went to the mountain, it just says a mountain. Of course, in those Judean hills around there, there were many mountains, many isolated places he could go. So it wasn't necessarily a special mountain or prayer mountain, but it was a place of privacy. And then furthermore, notice this place was a somewhat inconvenient place. In other words, he had to climb up the mountain, climb up the hill. However high it was, he had to inconvenience himself somewhat to go to prayer. This would indicate how deliberate he was in his prayer life, and then how deliberate he was in determining to pray. So he wanted to go to a place that was private. He wanted to go to a place that was somewhat inconvenient. Brother Jeff's been over there to the Holy Land, Brother Davidson, but they tell us that this is rocky terrain. This is rugged walking up into a mountain and so on. So it's a matter of inconvenience. So we have all these things in his prayer life because he was determined to pray. He wanted to make sure he had a place to pray that was private, and even if it was inconvenient, he was willing to do that inconvenience so that this would be a special time to him. And so, as we're to emulate him, I think we can learn from this as well, take his example, and realize that we need a place to pray. And there's nothing magical about the place, obviously, but we need a place to pray where we have some private, TV's not on, people are not yakking, but we have a private time where we can pray to the Lord. And sometimes finding that private time in a busy, noisy world, it takes some inconvenience to get us there. But you see, as a church, and as I'm going through many of these prayer passages, I know, first of all, this is what I need. But secondly, when we talk about these truths in the Bible, I think the Lord then gives experiences in life to help us follow up. In other words, I haven't been giving you 18 months of the theology of prayer. So you can stick it in your mind and say, this is a great theology, now I've got to get on with my life. No, the idea is we're learning these verses, we're going through them, But as we do, you see, the Lord's teaching you as well. See, He teaches through experiences. So He gives experiences that force us to then put to practice what the verses teach. You see, the Lord's the ultimate teacher. If we didn't spend a lot of time on prayer, we wouldn't have as many prayer needs, at least think that we had as many. Maybe there wouldn't be as many things come our way. But you see, this is how the Lord teaches. He teaches us once we understand the truth, then He gives us the experience in life to apply the Scripture and to fulfill what He has promised here. And so, yes, we've got a prayer sheet going around here. But when the prayer requests come, when the issues of life come up, then we know how we're to take care of them. The Lord said there in Luke 18, man ought to always pray and not to faint. So faint has to do with getting discouraged and falling back and falling down and just the opposite of going forward with faith. But you see, why faint when we can pray? Now, some people say, why pray when you can worry? You see, but that's the cardinal way of looking at it. Why faint when you can pray? You see, that's the way we ought to look at it. And so, sure, there are discouragements that come along in life. When they do, what are we to do? What are we to? How are we to respond? I mean, after all, we're different from the world. The world doesn't pray. Normally, they don't respond. And I did see on a bumper sticker today, as I was going to the airport to pick up my wife, somebody in front of me had to pray the rosary. Well, we're not talking about that. That's rote memorization and praying to the Catholic God, who's not the God of the Bible, and so on. But that's not the idea. But when the experiences of life come, we ought to go into prayer mode. That's part of our armament, our Christian armament, go into prayer. All right, so first of all, then he had a place to pray. Secondly, notice he had the persistence in prayer. He had persistence in prayer. Notice it says, and continued all night in prayer. So, in the expression here, first of all, we have to pray and prayer. So, these both come from the same root. One is a verb, to pray, and the other is a noun. But to pray in prayer. So, there's an emphasis. And we might ask, well, what else do you do when you pray? Well, you pray in prayer. Prayer is a time when you pray, obviously, but there's an emphasis here. He could have said he went to a mountain to pray, or he could, the scripture could read here, and he went to the mountain and continued all night in prayer, but instead it puts the verb and the noun together, showing an emphasis. He prayed a prayer. And so, certainly in the short little memory verse, the root word pray and prayer show up twice. And so here's an emphasis. And the emphasis has to do with his, quite often when we have emphasis in the scripture, it has to do with intensity. And I believe here we have the intensity of his prayer. He prayed a prayer. This is intensity. He was intense in his prayer life. And then we find out as well, continued all night. Now, continued all night is just one word. And this is the only place in the New Testament where this one word is found, but it's a compound of three parts. And the first part has to do with the preposition through, and the next part has to do with night, through the night, and then the final part of the word has to do with keep. So keeping through the night, basically what the root word means, but in the context here, keeping through the night in prayer. And it turns out to be a participle, it's a present participle, so this has to do with perpetual praying. So he continued, I mean, this is a good translation, he continued perpetually through the night, keeping prayer through the night, the idea. And so here, it's the only place where this word shows up, but the Lord was able to do that. Now, this apparently was not necessarily what he did every night. I mean, obviously he got tired, he needed to sleep and so on, but on certain occasions he'd pray all night. Now, generally when we try to pray at night, sleep overcomes us. So just like the apostles when they were in the garden, they fell asleep trying to pray. But on the other hand, it may be that on those rare occasions when we wake up in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep, maybe you ought to pray. How about that? So we can either pray or faint. We can pray or worry. But why do those things when we can pray? So at night, the Lord's not sleeping. He's ready to hear us. And so he had persistence in prayer. So this whole verse brings out his persistence in prayer. All right, and then thirdly, let's notice he had a purpose. He had a purpose. So he had a place, he had persistence, and he had a purpose to pray. And we find he prayed all night in prayer to God. So the context here indicates the purpose that he, as a one who would pray, had a certain specific prayer request and a purpose. Now, the expression he prayed, we should allude to the Lord, is found 12 times in the New Testament, the Gospels. He prayed. And so it refers to him. But he prayed, we're told, 12 times. So the Lord has a purpose. And I gave you some of the purposes earlier. But in this case, he prayed. Let's notice, first of all, what the text says, prayed to God. So obviously this would be God the Father. He prayed to God the Father. So Scripture, and I've gone over some of these things, but it's well worth repeating. But if you look there in John chapter 15, John 15, verse 16, the Lord says here, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. All right, so here we have a pattern. We ask the Father. We pray to God the Father. Or we pray to the Father. We pray in Jesus' name. And we go to the Father in prayer. Or, again, in 16:23, whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And so here again, believers ask the Father because of what Christ has done on the cross. And the Father will hear our request, as the promise is. So here's the pattern to pray. Now, I know in the past it's been somewhat of a effort by some, especially charismatics, to want to pray to the Holy Ghost. But we really don't have that as a pattern. We don't have that as a teaching. Now, certainly, all three members of the Godhead are co-equal. They're co-God. But the Bible gives us distinctions within the Godhead. I mentioned this on Sunday afternoon. Distinctions in our salvation have to do with the Father chooses, the Son redeems, and the Spirit seals. So it's not the Holy Spirit didn't shed His blood for our sins. See, the Holy Spirit never became incarnate. And neither did the Father die for our sins. But it's the Son who died for sins. So there are distinctions within the Godhead, and there's an order, there's a pattern. Now, to try to figure out the Trinity doctrine is very, very complicated, and I don't know if we can completely understand it in this life. It may take us eternity to comprehend the Trinity. But nevertheless, where the Bible speaks specifically, then we ought to be that specific. So we wouldn't want to pray to the Holy Ghost in the Father's name. See, this would be contrary to the order of Scripture. And so we ought to follow the order of Scripture. Paul did this. He prayed to the Father in Ephesians chapter 3. Christ prayed to the Father. Now, sometimes we may start our prayer off and speak to the Lord. Well, the Father's Lord, so So there's nothing wrong with that. Dear Lord, thank you for this, and so on, or the Father. But this, we ought to follow the pattern of Scripture. Now, what if we don't? Will the Lord answer prayer? Well, I think the Lord is gracious and merciful, but the point is, why don't we just follow Scripture, you see, and honor Him that way? All right, well, anyway, so he had a purpose to pray, and first of all, his purpose to pray was to God, God the Father. Secondly, we notice he prayed for his apostles here. We see that in the following verses. Says in verse 13, when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Called them his disciples, and also he named apostles. All right, and here we have the names of the apostles, and so on. But he prayed all night for these. Now, as we look at the list there of these individuals, just in general, we don't find any particular traits of these men that are outstanding, or any occupations that they have that were outstanding. But nevertheless, he prayed for these. He prayed for these. It looks like he had more disciples than this, but he prayed for these. In fact, one that he prayed for was Judas, who ultimately betrayed him. And so in the sovereign will of God, as God leads him in prayer and answered prayer, the Father had him choose Judas, who only betrayed him. And so sometimes we need to keep these things in mind as well, that the Lord, in answering our prayer, may lead us into something that from a human point of view, it would be very unusual or not recommended. But the Lord prayed all night, and Judas was one for whom he prayed and who he appointed as an apostle. All right, so the Lord had a purpose here. It's interesting in the listing here of the 12. Some have made parallels between the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles, but there, in both the tribes and the apostles, we had a Simon, and we had a Levi, and we had a Judah or a Judas. So there's some parallels in the 12 tribes along with the 12 apostles. But nevertheless, he had a purpose in his prayer life, and so he prayed for his apostles. Well, as we look at the Lord's example, we have the example par excellence. And so here is a standard that we could attempt, but I don't think that's the purpose of trying to master his example here and say, well, I prayed for more than one night or something like that. But certainly, just as the Lord was a man of prayer in his humanity. Now, this is somewhat of a mystery to us, as the God-man nevertheless needs to pray. So he lived a life where he needed to pray, even though he was perfect in his humanity. He nevertheless believed that he needed to pray, and he apparently did pray, and the Lord, the Father, answered his prayers. And so if he, as a perfect man, needs to pray, and how much more us who are imperfect need to pray. And so when occasions came up, the Lord took these occasions and didn't say, well, here's another occasion where I can faint. No, he took these occasions and said, these are going to be occasions when I'm going to pray and see the Lord's will done. But certainly the application is for us. Well, we all have difficulties. We all have things that we struggle with in our humanity, and all kinds of situations on a regular basis. And yet the Lord in part brings these so that he can challenge us to pray. And we have all these verses in the Bible that teach us to pray. So when the next difficulty comes, the next issue comes up in life, what should we do? Should we faint or should we pray? Well, we all know the theoretical answer, right? I could send a test question around. Yes or no. When a difficulty comes, yes or no. Should you pray? We'd all check that. But everybody get 100. But do you get 100 in your practical life? And so the life of prayer. And so this is what we find, I believe, in this passage. An emphasis, once again, to pray. So he had a place to pray. He had persistence in prayer. And he had purpose to pray. Now, what about you? Do you have a place to pray? Are you persistent in prayer? And do you have a purpose for which to pray? All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at the prayer sheet. Now, Father, we pray that you'll bless now. The Word of God has gone forth, challenge us all to be greater in our prayer life and to emulate the Lord. Bless now in this prayer time, we pray, for ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you. All right, several requests here. So I've asked a couple men to pray tonight. But first of all, Tiamo's health, recovery, and strength. And then wisdom for Pedro in teaching family and spiritual matters. All right, so two good requests there. Next, job for Mark Vericonia. That close? Her nephews, Mrs. Harding's nephew. And job situation, Mrs. Harding's work. I've lost my job. Really? Boy. Was this a surprise? Oh, boy. All right. Let's pray for her. All right. Due to restructuring. All right. All right. Next is Tyler, still looking for jobs. We'll pray for him. Employment interviews, callbacks, and so on. Then Ryan has surgery tomorrow at 1:45 on his finger. Pray all that'll go well. And Elena says, praise the Lord who has strengthened me at work. Pray Jen to get a local job and his will in that. And Elena says about her brother, salvation, softened heart toward God. All right. And Aaron, sales at work. So let's pray that he'll get some sales and the Lord will bless and all that. Jeff, wisdom and decisions. And victory in spiritual warfare. Praise, blessings of church members here. All right, praise for continued work for Gino. Pray for wisdom how to expand his business. And praise that Jeff's truck is working. So is that Gino or Jeff's request?
Yes.
All right. And then Sarah has a request. Her family will come to church. Is that your parents or siblings?
My parents and my daughter.
Okay. All right. Erica, healthy pregnancy. Continue to pray for her. And Mark, Lord clearly reveal will for potential new job. Recruiter said job offering coming. Job offer coming. All right. And then a granddaughter walked closer to the Lord, the Vassers. And Mrs. Vassar asked for patience, waiting eye surgery, I guess, not till sometime in August. Pardon? Yeah, in August. So let's pray for that as well. All right. So these are some of the requests here. So I'm going to ask Ryan if you want to start, and then Brother Gagnon, you finish, and then I'll conclude.
Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. And we thank you for this good truth that we've learned about prayer. I pray that you would help us all to apply this in our lives, especially with all the prayer requests that we have, Lord.
place that you've given us to come and to not have to worry about the cares of the world and be able to be strengthened and to grow and the great blessings and mercy that you've given each one of us and just build us up, prepare us for the different challenges that we face in a sin-cursed world. And Lord, many of these things that happen to each one of us is a direct result of the sin in the world that we all have played a part in. And Lord, just may we find great peace in the salvation that we have through your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for Ryan and just his testimony that he has as far as being here now with us in the assembly, desiring to be here with us after being away for such a long period of time at school. And we just thank you for the blessings that you poured out upon him and his fiancée as they prepare for a future, if you do tarry, Lord. And we just pray for Ryan and ask that you'll continue to provide employment for him. And we just thank you for your help and answer to prayer as he's taken the test today. And even though he doesn't feel that he did well, Lord, just give him peace in his heart, knowing that he did the best he could. And we'll trust all the rest in your hands, Father. We thank you so much for Ryan being able to complete the test. And we'll look forward to hear the results thereof. We pray for Ryan in his surgery tomorrow as far as his hand. And we'll be praying for him, Lord. I pray for each one of the members here to be praying for him, even at 1:30 tomorrow, just that the doctors will have wisdom and understanding and that there'll be no complications with his finger and that he'll be able to have full use of his finger again, Lord. We pray for Jeff and the different decisions that he's having to make. We praise you, Father, for just the opportunities that you've given Jeff. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll give him discernment through your Spirit to know the right direction that he should take his career. And we'll give you thanks and praise for whatever the outcome. We pray for Gino and his work, Lord. We thank you for the previous work that you've given him. We do pray, Lord, that Gino will be patient and that you'll bring your the money that he's earned and has worked hard for. The money will come in your time, Lord, and that Gino will continue to be patient and just trust in you. But we thank you for the work that he had last week, and I just pray to give him guidance and your will as far as him expanding his business. Thank you for Mark Shaver and his family and placing them here with us. They are a blessing to our church. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll continue to give Mark a clear direction as to decisions that he needs to make concerning his employment. We thank you for answered prayer. And we'll continue to pray for Mark and the family and Erica and the baby. And we just thank you for being there for us, Lord, a refuge and a place that we can bring our troubles and concerns. Thank you, Lord, for this church building that you've given us and just all the opportunity that it gives us to go out into the community here in Cromwell. We thank you that we might be able to continue to evangelize this area and carry forth with the Great Commission. And, Lord, just continue to use us. We pray for visitors to continue visiting us, and those visitors who have most recently been here, Lord, the truth that they've heard, I pray that it has found a place where they will return desire to continue to grow in the truth of your Son. Father, we pray for Pat Snow and the town of Cromwell at this time as we continue to look for this sign issue coming up. Decisions will have to be made, Lord, concerning Pat Snow and what we're allowed to use, and also with the town of Cromwell and whatever zoning allows us to use with the sign. But, Lord, we just pray that we'll be patient and that we'll wait on you and that we won't covet and we won't be anxious and we'll just be a good testimony to the town of Cromwell and to Pat Snow as we proceed in the matter. We Lord, I just ask that we do remain patient, that just have peace, knowing that this is your will, and just give them clear direction, Lord, as far as the sale of the house, and especially at this time for Aaron, as he's trying to get sales for his business. Lord, just give him confidence and strengthen him as he goes through this very difficult economy that we're in. Lord, we'll give you thanks and praise. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you for all the blessings that you've poured out upon this local assembly here in Cromwell. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank that we can continue to pray to Thee. We thank You for the good challenge in Scripture and pray that You'll help us all to heed the teaching here. We pray for the various members and the various requests that have gone before Thee today. We think of those that are dealing with employment and their jobs and or lack of jobs. We pray that You might intercede, that we might see a real answer to prayer, and several of these requests have been ongoing. Pray especially for Mrs. Harding now. Be with her. Give her grace and peace in her heart and meet her needs. And we just commit her to Thee. We pray that You bless the Vacation Bible School time that's coming up here soon. We thank You for the ice cream that's given to us and pray that You'll send in neighborhood children. We might see some of them saved here during this effort. Bless our services on Sunday and our time of focusing on fathers and challenge to all of us who are fathers to be the men of God that we ought to be. Bless our services now, we pray, and we'll thank Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.